Welcome to our service for the third Sunday of Epiphany. The focus of our readings today is the bread and wine of Holy Communion, which means, ultimately, that our focus is the body and blood of Jesus, given in love for us on the cross of Calvary. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Refrain from today's psalm, Psalm 128. Whoever fears the Lord shall indeed be blessed. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the Third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. After Abraham's return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him 1/10 of everything. The gospel comes from John 2:1-11. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what concern is it to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm starting to get emails again from worried brides. In the main, these are couples who planned to get married last year, whose weddings we put off till this year, expecting that we would be through all this and out the other side. We put them off to quite early this year, so I've had an email from a couple who are hoping to be married in Pembrin in April, and another from a couple who hope to be married in Llangrannog in June. As you might guess,
There's a very limited amount I can tell them. Will the churches be open by April? I expect so. Will they be open soon enough to read the banns for a wedding in April? Slightly more doubtful. Will we still be socially distancing in church in June? Probably. Might there be different rules for people who've been vaccinated? No idea. And so it goes on. My own niece is due to be married in Llantysilio in early May, and I've no useful information to give her. We never quite grasped, did we, just how long this might go on. We had a reasonable idea how long it might take to develop a vaccine, and on the whole, it happened sooner than we could reasonably expect. But now we haven't quite grasped how long it will take to vaccinate everyone, and what measures will still need to be in place until and even after that has happened. In church, of course, it's meant that we were able to be open for Sunday worship in some churches for just a short time, but now we've had to close again. The fact that three members of Newquay Church have now tested positive over time reassures us that the decision to close again was the right one. I should say we are confident that everyone is safe from infection. When will we be open again? Again, I have no real answer. The middle of February at the very earliest, I suppose. And it's even possible that we'll be open only to those who've been vaccinated, which would be horrible but understandable. Of all the things that we are missing, our readings today invite us to consider the Holy Communion. In Genesis, we see the priest king of Sodom, Melchizedek, bringing bread and wine to Abraham. In John chapter 2, we see the miracle of the wedding in Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine. They have prompted me to ask myself, how much do I miss the communion, and what is it about it that I miss? I think the first thing I need to say is that there will be a range of different feelings about the Holy Communion amongst us, and that no one particular feeling is the right one. We were saddened by the news last month of the passing of our friend and brother Barry Williams. But I remember when I went to visit Barry in one of his too frequent stays in hospital, that he didn't feel that he wanted or needed to receive communion. And I know, in truth, that that is how I'd feel myself. I had to have quite a lot of time off sick while recovering from my knee operation and hernia, and I never felt that I wanted to receive communion at home. Yet for other people, to receive communion at home or in hospital is a really precious thing, and I must say that I myself enjoy the ministry of giving people communion at home. It's worth pointing out that the clergy who minister in our churches also have very different feelings about presiding at communion. I know that it was hard for my brothers David and John not to be able to preside at communion this Christmas. I hope that, health and COVID permitting, we'll be able to enjoy their ministry at Easter. But I know also that I will probably not feel the same. God helping me, I expect to retire in about 3.5 years' time. If and when it comes to it, I'm sure I'll be happy to help out, but I won't miss presiding at communion in and of itself. And as I've mentioned to you before, at the theological level, I don't really agree with the idea that it's necessary to have an ordained priest present in order to be able to have a communion service. I'd be perfectly happy if Anthea or Richard at Newquay or David at Pembrin, appropriately prepared and trained, were allowed to preside at Holy Communion. I'm sure there are some parts of it that they'd do much better than I do. All this is a complicated way of saying that I've had to ask myself what I really do miss about the Holy Communion service from which I, like you, am excluded at the present time. First, I don't feel that it impairs my communion with the Lord. I don't feel, as some people seem to, that taking the bread and wine of communion in and of itself makes any particular difference to my spiritual well-being. What makes a difference to me is not that I can't take communion, it is that I can't take communion with you. The Holy Communion has two obvious orientations, a vertical one, so to speak, between the worshipper and the Lord, and an horizontal one, between the worshippers as sisters and brothers. And I suppose what I'm saying is that for me, you can't have the one without the other. This is why, in the Anglican Communion, we don't believe in private Eucharists, with just the priest present. This was a key issue at the Reformation. The Reformers rejected the existing Roman Catholic practice where priests would celebrate the Eucharist in private. This was partly because it tended to be linked to the idea that rich people could pay for priests to celebrate Eucharists, which would shorten their time in purgatory. But the Reformers also believed, and their liturgies express this clearly, that a Eucharist with only the vertical dimension is a contradiction in terms. It is the communion between the worshippers which makes Jesus present, bringing us together into the presence of Almighty God. So, for example, when I do take communion to people who are sick or housebound, I always take communion with them myself. We are two or three gathered together in the Lord's name, and the Lord has promised that where that happens, he will be present in the midst of us. Of course, that's true whenever two or three of us gather together, for example, in a prayer meeting or fellowship group. God always loves to gather his people, and Jesus always comes to meet them when he does. But I suppose I think of the communion as something like a lightning conductor, said he, as if he had any idea of how a lightning conductor works. Somehow in communion there is a special focus. The wonderful energy of the grace of God in heaven is focused as it meets the wonderful energy of our communion in the Spirit here on earth. Missa est, says the Latin Mass. It has been sent out. The energy of the grace of God from heaven has found earth in the gathering of the people of God and now needs to be earthed further in acts of Christian charity and witness, first to our brothers and sisters without whom our communion is impossible, and then to our neighbours near and far. I'd like to finish with the picture that best expresses the heart of the Holy Communion for me. It's a picture I have only once or twice experienced, but it is the one with which Jane grew up. It's the picture of the brethren whose service every Sunday was always the breaking of bread. There was no shining silver cup in it, no priest dressed up in robes. A simple loaf and a simple cup of wine would be on a simple table set in the middle of the congregation. One of the congregation would give thanks for the loaf. He would do it in his own words, springing from the depth of his relationship with Christ. It had not been decided beforehand which of them it should be. The Holy Spirit would lead one of the brothers to speak. Among the brethren, it would be a man, as of course it was in our own denomination and all denominations at that time. But then the loaf would be shared, passed round the circle from one to another. From the age of 7 upwards, the children would be allowed to receive, if they had asked to, and if they could show that they understood what they were asking. Another member of the congregation would then give thanks for the cup, again as the Spirit led him. This was the heart of the service. The focus on the saving blood of Christ was everything to them. And then the cup, too, would be passed from one to another. It was a system, of course, which lacked the checks and balances which seem essential to us with our clergy and cassocks and canons. But at its best, it captured the essence of the priestly communion of the people of God, expressing their thanksgiving to God for his grace in the person of Christ. It is the people of God who make Eucharist, and it is the communion of the people of God that I miss. Amen.
Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men, knowing we would bruise him and smite him from the earth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his death is my birth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his life is my life.
Entad yr hynoed yn y nefoedd, sancteddiad y enw, Deled ydy'r nas gwnele dy wychlis, megis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n i heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, yma ddau ni ein dyledion, fel yma ddau o'n unna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, gan i seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
As members of the body of Christ, bound together in his love, let us pray together now, confident in God's promise to be among us. We pray for all members of the Church in its variety and richness throughout the world. May the weak be encouraged and strengthened, the wanderers returned, and those besieged by doubts be given the assurance of faith, and the weary refreshed by your living Spirit. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Gweddion am arweinyddion ein byd, boed yn genedlaethol neu yn lleol. Helpwch nhw i gydweithio er mwyn dod o hyd i'r ffordd gorau allan o'r pandemig hyn. Gweddion dros arlywydd newydd yr Unol Daliaethau Americ. Rhowch ddoi thineb iddo i wneud penderfyniadau doeth yn ystod y misoedd i ddod. Arglwydd yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Lord, we pray for our families and friends and long for the day when we can once again meet in faith and friendship. Give us strength to endure this lockdown, safe in the knowledge that our actions now will guide our future. May your love encompass all those who are lonely, distressed, or grieving at this time. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Arglwydd, gweddion dros bawb sydd yn sâl ac i'r rheini sydd yn gofalu amdanynt. Ar adegau, mae'n teimlo'n ddiddiwedd. Rho nerth iddynt i gario mlaen, gan gofio ddaw eto hael ar fryn. Fe gofion yn dywel am y rhai sy'n adnabyddus i ni. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Lord, we pray for those who have died and for those who are at present on that last journey.
May they have peace in the joy of your presence forever. We remember especially the many who are known to us who have lost their lives during this last year. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Ac yn olaf, diolchwn arglwydd am eich cariad diddiwedd ac am yr holl bendithion yr ydym yn derbyn oddi wrthoch yn ddyddiol. We offer you our thanks and praise for your love and kindness and the way you encourage and guide us day by day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almighty Father, whose Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, may your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, that he is alive and reigns, now and for ever. Amen. And now may the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in your hearts, and fill your lives with his joy and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.